So we've been doing this series for some time now called Building Our Success Scripturally. And I see a gap in the marketplace where believers have the ability to step in and really shine their light for Jesus Christ and make a big difference in big ways. Matter of fact, I believe in this message series so much that we've been talking to a company that will help us to publish it. Because I believe if there's anything millennials need, it's that they need this truth that will help them. These are not little things we're talking about. These are major game changers in your life. Not just how to survive, but how to succeed. And God has called us to thrive. He hasn't just called us to barely make it. He's called us to make a difference. And so we want to teach you how to do that. I find it interesting that the average life expectancy in the United States, good evening, Mr. Boyce. It was so good to see his mom, Barb Boyce, on Sunday. She looks amazing, up out of bed, kicking cancer's tail, gaining weight, walking on her own. Can y'all give God praise for what he's doing in Mother Boyce? Amen. Average life expectancy in the United States. Average life expectancy. Now, nobody needs to get nervous because nobody here is average. But for people who are average, 78.74 years. 78.74 years. David said something along these lines. God, make me to know the length of my days. And I think that's important because when we look at that, Mickey, we start saying, man, I've got X amount of time to make a difference. I've got X amount of time to accomplish what I feel like God has laid on my heart. But the truth we've been working from and the platform is very simply this, Vlad, that we'll spend a third of our life working. We'll spend half of our hours awake every day working and spending time with people we work with. And so that means, you know, as believers, a lot of times, especially in America, we compartmentalize God. We kind of box him in and say, God's for Sundays, God's for Wednesday nights. But the reality is, when you become a believer, it permeates everything. Jesus isn't a part of life. He is life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so to accept Jesus is really to accept an entirely new way of doing life. And there is no part of my life that is not affected by my walk with Christ. And so that means the way we work, simply because of the amount of time we spend doing it, is one of, if not the absolute greatest witness you have in your life. The way you work. People are going to watch that. You are known for the way you work, and it will influence and impact the people around you, whether they know they can count on you or whether they're picking up slack behind you or whatever they may have to do when it comes to working with you. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 5 says it like this: slaves, obey your earthly masters. Now, as employees, that's certainly what we are. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with deep respect and fear. Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. Isn't that interesting? The Bible says that we are to work for our employer the same way we serve Jesus. Some of y'all aren't liking this already. That boss that you can't stand, the Bible says start looking at him like he's Jesus, or her like she's Jesus. Like she's a long way from Jesus. But that's what the Bible says. Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. Verse 6, try to please them all the time. Obviously, that's not possible all the time, but trying to do it all the time is. Not just when they're watching you. As slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all your heart. Verse 7, work with enthusiasm. Somebody say enthusiasm. As though you were working for the Lord rather than people. Who are you to act like you're working for? Now, if Jesus is watching, you're going to do it with a little enthusiasm, aren't you? I mean, you're going to do it like you mean it. You're going to put a face on. Work with enthusiasm as though you're working for the Lord rather than for people. And here's what you've got to remember. Remember that the Lord will reward each one of us for the good we do, whether we're slaves or free. And so we've been talking about attitudes of achievers. And I told you that attitude is everything. An attitude is a settled way of thinking that's reflected in the way we behave. It's areas that we can develop in our character and build personal discipline. Now, it's critical that you understand every one of us were born with certain gifts. Somebody say, I have gifts. God hardwired them into you. When it comes to your gifts, you need to focus on your strengths. But when it comes to developing character, we need to focus on our weaknesses. Because we have the ability to develop those areas through personal discipline. When it comes to a gift, I want to focus on where I'm strong. Gage, when it comes to character, I want to focus on where I'm weak, and I can begin adding to that. And so it's important for us to understand that attitude makes us an invaluable asset to everything you're a part of, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your family, whether it's your community, your church, whatever it might be. And so the final attitude of an achiever that I want to address tonight is one of my favorite things to talk about. I saved it for last, and it's very simply this. It is the attitude of excellence. Somebody say excellence. It is the attitude of excellence. Now, excellence literally means the quality of being outstanding. It's something that stands out. And I want to work from this basis tonight and help you understand excellence on a very basic level. And it's very simply this. And if we'll build this as a foundation, it's going to radically change everything you do every single day. And it's very simply this. Excellence is giving your best. Excellence is giving your best. Well, how many of you can do your best? Everybody in this room. Now, your best is different than my best. Isn't that right? So I don't need to be the best. I need to be my best because your best is different than my best. I'm not going to be judged, Cat, by God the day I stand before him on my best versus your best. I'm going to be judged on what I did versus what I could have done. Here's what I don't want to happen when I get to heaven. I don't want the Holy Spirit to show me everything I could have done. I want to accomplish it all in this life. Amen? And so that requires us to ask, seek, and knock. We talked about that Sunday. But excellence is working from this idea that I'm giving my best. Now, let me ask you one more time. How many of you can do your best? Okay. How many of you can do your best every once in a while? Right? No, all of us should be able to, right? I mean, if you can't do your best every once in a while, we got big problems. But the reality is we can make a choice. Excellence is giving my best. Now, let me show you this biblically because we're imitators of God. John chapter 3, verse 16, most famous scripture of all time. For God so loved the world that he gave. What did God give? He gave his best. There's nothing, Nate, more valuable God could have given us than his son, Jesus Christ. Nothing. Hands down, nothing in the universe compares to the value and the worth of Jesus Christ. The Bible says we have not been redeemed by corruptible things in 1 Peter like silver and gold, but with the incorruptible, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It is the most valuable commodity in the universe. And so God gave us his best. He shows us that when Jesus came, he gave his best every single day. He gave us the best of him. And the word best means, because these work off of each other, that which is most excellent. Okay, so best and excellent go together. To give my best means to give that which is most excellent. It means to give something outstanding. Now remember, to be excellent is to be outstanding. So giving my excellence and my best is inseparable. It's to give something that is desirable. No matter who you are, when you see excellence, you want it. No matter who you are, when you see best, it's something that we want to have in our life. And so my goal is to be my best every single day. Again, not the best, but to be my best. To refuse or to not settle to give anything less than my best. We refuse to give anything less than my best. So I need to ask you a question that will identify your location tonight. And I'm not talking about where you're sitting, but I'm talking about where you are in life. And it's very simply this, are you giving your best? Are you giving your best? If you died tomorrow, what regrets would you have in your relationships? Is there anything left undone? What regrets would you have in your walk with God? What regrets would you have in your financial life? What regrets would you have with your children? What regrets would you have in your career? Okay? Am I giving my best? And that's very important because I believe the Holy Spirit is going to speak to each person tonight about areas where we can improve. Amen? So that we can continue being a people of excellence in even greater measures. And what's important about understanding this is simply this, that we've got to make sure we're not just going through life, that we're not just on cruise control, that we're not coasting, that we're not just going through the motions, that we're not on autopilot. Because if something is worth doing in life, it's worth doing right. If life is worth doing, it's worth doing right. If marriage is worth standing at an altar and saying I do to another person, then it's worth doing right. It's worth giving my best. If you sign up to work somewhere, which I'm assuming the majority of you in this room, that describes you, then it's worth giving your best. Maybe it's not your dream job, okay? But I can still give my best on my way there, because what happens is when I give my best now, it becomes a seedbed for what God's gonna do in my life next. And until I'm faithful with what belongs to somebody else, then God will never give me what belongs to me. Does that make sense tonight? And so no matter whether you're in your dream job now or not, you still are required to do your best, because you reap what you sow. And if you don't do your best now, you can't get your best later. Very powerful principle for us to grab hold of. And so the Apostle Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. It used to be one of my favorite things to talk about when I go and preach at youth groups. And it says, don't you realize that in a race, everybody runs? I'm addicted to the Olympics right now. I went to bed last night before the last seven people came down the hill. Did Lindsey Vonn get bronze in the downhill? Yes? Cool. He says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? There's only one gold medalist. But look what he says next. He says, so run to win. He says, if you're going to run, then run this thing to win it. He says, I want you to throw everything you've got into it. Only one person's going to win. If you're going to engage in something, then go all the way to it. The key to success, no matter what you're doing, is investing yourself completely. The key to success, no matter what you're doing, is investing yourself completely. Let me say right now, if you've been married more than once, you're in a relationship right now and you're hurt and you're wounded, you've brought that baggage from previous marriages into this marriage, and that other individual is paying the price for things other people did to you in the past, you've got to open your heart and allow them to have the best of you if you want it to work. If you want to succeed, you have to invest yourself fully. You cannot go at this half-cocked. You've got to go with it all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. That was the first and greatest commandment Jesus gave us. He said, I want you to go in all the way in, all the way. He said, the first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Love him with everything you got. That's to come number one in your life. We don't do jobs halfway. We don't leave things half done. We don't run half speed, and we don't give half effort. That is literally the definition of mediocre. Mediocre means halfway up the mountain. I don't want to be halfway up anything. I want to be all the way up on that thing. And it's an insult. I want you to hear this. It is an insult to serve God half-heartedly, because he paid for your whole heart. It's an insult to worship God with half a heart. Let me just prophesy for you on Sunday. If we come in here and we give God a half-cocked worship, it's an insult. Matter of fact, in the book of Revelation, he said, I'd rather you be cold or hot, but don't you dare be in the center. He said, I don't want you halfway up. He said, I want you all the way up. If you're not all the way up, be all the way down. I can help you if you're one of them two. But if you're complacent with who you are in the middle, I can't do nothing for you. Because if you're hot, you're running toward him. And if you're cold, you're going to be turning toward him. And he can help them two people. But he can't do nothing with a person stuck in the middle, just okay with things as they are. It's an insult to God to walk with him half-heartedly, because he bought our whole heart. So God deserves nothing less than our best, because that's what he gave to us. He gave us his best. And that's what he asks us to give other people. And watch this. When we do, when we give other people our very best, it reveals who he is. It reveals who he is. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 in the NIV says it like this. It says, whatever you do, do it all. How much of it? How much of it? Remember, Nike used to always say, just do it. But do how much? Do it all for who? The glory of God. Now, I want you to call out to me some things you do in a day. Hit me. Eat, teach. Y'all are boring. Work, dishes, drive. What? Huh? clean, cook, huh? Interact with people, babysitting, TV. Anybody wash dishes? Run a sweeper? Brush your teeth? Drink coffee? I drink coffee for Jesus all the time. I'm telling you, you watch me drink it, usually he's doing that for the glory of God right there. Ma'am? Iron your man's shirt. Do it like you do it for Jesus. I won't wear it if it don't look like it belongs on him. Somebody, Chris, come up to me tonight and said, somebody in the congregation wants to know if we can turn down the paisley. Some of y'all are getting that. He didn't like my shirt. So my point is very simply this. Whatever you do, there's nothing too small. Do it all for the glory of God. We are driven to be our very best because that's what God gave us and that's what he deserves. Only my best can glorify him. Only my best pleases him. It's not okay to do less than my best. Again, Colossians 3:23. Work willingly at whatever. Somebody say whatever. You do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Very important. And so when I give my best, that's what I'm doing. It affects every area and every arena of my life. Now, let me give you an acronym for BEST that's helpful to me. Sometimes I share it with our Team Victory volunteers, B-E-S-T. And it stands, the B stands for believe. Somebody say believe. 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 Believe what? Believe in what you do. Believe in what you do. If you're going to do something, believe in it. Put your heart in it. The E is for example. Somebody say example. Example, what if everybody did it like you do? What would it look like if everybody did it like you do? That could be a scary thought. Okay. S, serve. Somebody say serve. Serve God. Serve his vision. We are servants of the vision at the end of the day, which is Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We put kingdom first in everything. And when we do, everything trickles down and he adds to us. Serve each other. Serve our world. Serve your coworkers. Serve your spouse. Somebody say, my spouse don't deserve to be served. Well, that's why you're locked in that cycle. You start serving them when they don't deserve it and they'll come out of it. Takes two to tango. Serve your friends. Serve people around you. So believe. Put your heart in it. E is example. What if everybody did it like you? You've got to do it the way it needs to be done. Lead by example. S is serve. Serve others. And the T is team. Somebody say team. Team. Because you're a part of a team, whether you realize it or not. Team is God's idea. We talked about that a few weeks ago. And as a part of a team, you have a part to play. People are counting on you. Somebody look at your neighbor tonight and tell them, you can count on me. You can count on me. Right? People are counting on you. That's what it means to give your best. Are we letting people around us down? If we are, that's not giving our best. Now, let's move on to the next one now that we've laid that foundation. Excellence is the continual pursuit of improvement. It's constantly going after the better. It's not just getting older, but it's growing better. I get older automatically. I don't grow better automatically. Age and wisdom do not go hand in hand. Gray does not mean wise. I know a lot of people with gray that are stupid. Y'all do too. You can be bald and dumber than a box of rocks. Doesn't make you wise. Isn't that true? Wisdom does not come with age. It should. Some people just haven't learned yet. Well, we do everything with excellence or we don't do it. We do everything with excellence or we don't do it. If I can't do it with excellence, then I can't do it. I can't be a part of it. Everything we do is under constant review. If it's not meeting the standard that it needs to be at or that we feel like we can be at, then we fix it, we replace it, or we kill it. There are no golden calves at Victory Church. Everything is on the chopping block. I mean, the children of Israel were this way, man. Everything God did, man, they wanted to build a tomb out of it, and they wanted to park there. There are tons of churches in America dying right now because of that. Well, it's just always been that way, and we don't dare change it. Well, God's not in the organ, people. It's got a brass plaque on it. We better not touch it. Everything should be subject to change. And it's important that we make that a part of our lifestyle because when we don't, people become entrenched. People become set in their ways. And I'm not knocking organs. I love a Hammond B3. I wish we had one. But here's the deal. When you operate in excellence, you review and you adjust constantly to increase efficiency. Change is a part of your lifestyle. Again, that prevents people from getting rigid, set in their ways, becoming protective and territorial. Very important. Let's go to the next one. Excellence is going beyond what is required or expected. It's going beyond what is required or expected. If you're doing the minimum, you're not excellent. The difference between ordinary and extraordinary is the extra. The difference between ordinary and extraordinary is the extra. What's the difference? The extra. What are you doing that's extra? Most people want to give minimum effort and receive maximum benefits. We're the opposite as believers. We give maximum effort for minimal expectation. What Jesus say? If they ask you for one coat, give them two. If they ask you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. He said, go above and beyond and blow that person's mind. We don't do anything that does not glorify God simply because he's the number one person we represent. Now, I just put the emphasis on the wrong syllable to prove a point. We represent him. We represent him. So if I can't represent Jesus in what I'm doing, then I can't do that. Does that make sense tonight? I have to represent him. We do it right regardless of whether people are watching or they're not watching. Because what you do matters. Again, we can't compartmentalize God and say, well, God is here on Sunday mornings at 9 or 11, or he's here on Wednesday nights at 6:30, and the rest of my week is just mine. This is something we teach Anna right now. I expect more out of Anna than I do out of Zoe. Anna just turned 13. She's starting to become a young lady. I'm preparing her to be an adult. Zoe's still a child. There is a different level of expectation for the two of them. There should be a different level of maturity. So I sat her down the other day and I said, baby, me and mommy aren't riding you sometimes whenever we tell you to do things a certain way or to do it the right way. I said, I want to make sure you understand we're not being nitpicky with you. There's a reason why it matters. There's a reason why it's important for you to do it right. There's a reason why when you change the dog box that you go and put it back the right way and snap everything down on it. Because if you begin to build a lifestyle where you don't pay attention to details and you don't take care of the little things, the Bible says the little fox spoil the vines. And if you don't take care of the little things one day on your job, then you're going to get fired. If you don't take care of the little things in your marriage, you're going to get divorced. If you don't take care of the little things, if y'all don't believe me, the things people come and talk to me about that are problems in their marriage are really things that aren't even that big of a deal the majority of the time. But because they've been overlooked for so long, it becomes an issue, just like with our health. If you overlook the little things in your health for decade after decade after decade, I'm going to tell you, you're going to reap what you sow in your body. And I know we don't like hearing that as Americans, but what you feed it is what you're going to get out of it. And y'all know me, I love garbage. But I'll be 40 this year. I need a better future. I believe God's got things for us to accomplish that I can't do if I'm sick and diseased and half dead when I'm 55, because most pastors die or have open heart at least by 60. I refuse to be a part of that. And you've got to make a decision in your life what you choose to. And we've got to be excellent in every single area, because everything I do tells a story. It says either I care or I don't care. People are watching the way you do what you do. If you don't do your job, you are communicating to them, I don't care. If they're a part of your team, then it's become more personal. Now you're saying, I don't care about you. And that's why they get angry and they respond the way they do sometimes with us. Excellence is getting the job, not getting the job done, it's getting the job done right. One of the things, I love watching people, especially if we go somewhere, and Marsha and the girls are shopping, I just sit out in the mall. I'll go get a coffee and just sit there, and I don't care how long it takes. I'll watch people. I love watching janitors. Y'all are like, you are one weird duck. But I do. I like watching janitors. I like watching their demeanor. I like watching their attitude. I like watching the way they do what they do, because right away I can tell whether or not they care. And if I go somewhere and they're doing a great job, man, I'm going to tell them. I'm going to encourage them. Boy, you do an amazing job. That sink is shining. That urinal, I mean, that chrome looks like the bumper on a 55 Buick. you know, I'm going to encourage them and build them up. But I like watching, because janitors are people that we think have a menial job until you go to sit on a toilet and you get angry. All of a sudden, the janitor's job matters. How many of you are thankful for janitors? But I love to watch them. And Martin Luther King had a quote that said this, and it goes right along with this. If a man's called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep streets as Michelangelo painted, or Beethoven composed music, or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep streets so well that all the host of heaven and earth pause to say, here lived a great street sweeper who did his job well. In other words, no matter what you do, there are not menial jobs. There are only menial attitudes. Okay, let's move to our next point tonight. Excellence is about paying attention to details. We kind of just touched on that. I love Genesis 2:1. I love looking at nature. I love looking at the earth. And the Bible says that heaven and earth were finished down to the last detail. I have seen it before in studies, and I can't tell you the specifics right now, but if Earth were off axis just a fraction of a degree, what it would do, it would destroy everything. God paid attention to every detail when he created the world. Nothing was left undone. The only way for us to be people of excellence is to pay attention to details. And I've told you this before, it bears repeating tonight, the success of every mission that NASA flies, it depends on their level of excellence and attention to detail. And they did an interview recently, and they said that both shuttle tragedies, the Challenger and the more recent one, I think it was Discovery, were both preventable, but people got sloppy and relaxed their standards. And so details determine the success or failure of our mission. It determined the success or failure of Jesus's mission. He was detail oriented. He had to fulfill not 99% of the law. He had to fulfill 100% of the requirements of the law so that he could qualify to go to the cross for us. How many of you believe it matters? Okay, turn to your neighbor, amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell him it matters. The difference, and this is powerful, the difference between something good and something great is attention to detail. That's the difference maker right there. How many of you ever had pork chops? Right? How many of you have had pork chops that will make you throw rocks at you will stone your own grandmother? Y'all know what I'm talking about? And I've turned into a fish lover. I used to hate fish. But I love it. And so Marsha loves to cook. It's her passion. She doesn't hate it. She loves it. If you don't like cooking, no big deal. That's you. But that's her thing, man. She goes nuts over it. So one of the things I get her is this thing called HelloFresh. Y'all ever heard of that? Where you order HelloFresh, you know what I'm talking about. And they send the meal to your house, and then she don't have to go to the store for three nights a week, and everything you need is in it. And I'm telling you right now, in the last 7 days, I've had four of the best meals I've ever had in my life. I'd order them in a restaurant every single time I'd go there. Tonight, I had farm-raised tilapia that was rolled in sour cream or buttermilk or something, and then panko breadcrumbs in it, and then I ate it with couscous, and it had this like Mexican some kind of sauce, aioli or something on it, and squeezed fresh limes over it. I'm telling you right now, that wasn't fish. I don't like fish. Whatever that was, I would eat it off a plank. I would eat the plank. Come on, that's the difference between Long John Silver's and what I had tonight. I hadn't been to Long John's. Let me just talk about it for a second. I hadn't been to Long. See, you got me on food. I hadn't been to Long John Silver's in years. And we were down in Williamsport and doing something, and we thought, we're going to run in Long John Silver's. We haven't been in there for a long, long time. And, man, now I remember why. Oh, my goodness, Jesus, help us all. I mean, and it's just gross. I try. I mean, community vinegar bottles, and, I mean, they're smeared from one end to the other to God knows what. It's bad stuff. That is not what I ate tonight, but they were both fish somehow. But anyway, I don't know what that has to do with anything. I hope that helps somebody get to heaven. God bless you tonight. It's the little details that are vital. Little things make big things happen. If there's anything I could tell people, especially young people, y'all pay attention to the little stuff in your life. The little things make the big things happen. There is no big ticket to get punched. There is no lottery winning. There is no easy way. It's about doing the little things over and over and over and over. And so that's critical. And so let me hit you real quick with seven things we'll blow through. I like the number seven because it's God's number for perfection. These things are seven ways to perfect excellence in us. The first one is simply this. Number one, excellence is attainable. And I need you to believe that. Excellence is something you can do. It's something you can be. It's something you can have. If you believe that, you can achieve it. Amen? It's a choice to be your best every day. Take everything you do in any given day, week, or month and do it like it's the last thing you're ever going to do. I'm going to do it like that's what I'm going to be remembered for. I'm doing it like Jesus is watching because he is. Amen? Number two, excellence is repeatable. This is critical because excellence is not just getting great results once, but it's the discipline to repeat those results over and over and over again. Excellence is the opposite of mediocrity. And when I'm defining something, one of the easiest ways for me to figure out what it is for me to take a look at what it isn't. Excellence is the opposite of mediocrity. And again, to be mediocre means to be halfway up the mountain. It means to only go halfway. And mediocrity, it is proven, comes not from the inability to do a good job, but it comes from chronic inconsistency. Chronic inconsistency. It's not the lack of great results. It's the inability to repeatedly provide those results. So if mediocrity is the result of inconsistency, that tells me that excellence is the result of consistency. And I found this quote from Aristotle. I thought it was so powerful, world-renowned philosopher. And he said, "We are what we repeatedly do." We are what we repeatedly do. It's not what you think you are. It's not what you say you are. You are what you do over and over. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit. Something I do repeatedly. The price of excellence is discipline. The price of excellence is discipline. There is a price tag that comes with this. Are you willing to pay the price? Again, I didn't come to tell you how to survive. I came to tell you how to succeed. It's going to cost you. The price of excellence is discipline. It's your tuition. The cost of mediocrity is disappointment. And disappointment always comes with a higher price tag than discipline. Anybody can be great one day, but God has called you to be great day in and day out. This is the day the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and we're going to be glad in today. Amen? Maybe you didn't hit your best yesterday. That's okay. God gave you a new day today. Maybe you say, I haven't hit my best yet today. That's okay. God's giving you another day on the way tomorrow. And his mercy is new every morning. Can you say amen to that tonight? So we've got to be disciplined enough to do what's necessary to reproduce those great results daily. Number one, excellence is attainable. Number two, it's repeatable. Number three, it's measurable. It's measurable. Somebody say measurable. Okay? So let me ask you this question. What does a win look like for you? What is being your best as a husband look like? Write that down. What does being your best as a wife look like? What is being your best at your job doing what you've been assigned to do? What does that look like? Boil it down to five things or less. And what those things do is they give you an area you can focus. And if you'll look at them every day, your life will start moving in that direction. Your energy will flow in that direction. Habakkuk chapter 2 says, "Write the vision and make it plain so that he may run who reads it." In other words, if we write it down, if we write the picture of what we prefer down and we read it regularly, we will run toward that thing. Make sense? So it's measurable. It's something that is quantifiable. It's something, I know that's a big word, but in other words, it's not ethereal. It's not like grasping the wind. Okay? It literally has substance to it. Write that thing down. Short pencil's better than a long memory. Number four, excellence is transferable. Somebody say transferable. I love this one. Come on. Are you with me? Have I lost you? Okay, transferable. Here you go. In other words, I can impart it to other people. When you become a person of excellence, and it doesn't happen overnight, it happens over time. As you grow in becoming an excellent person, people around you are going to catch this. I love this because John Paul was that way with Timothy. He said, I have nobody else like him. He learned how to be excellent from being around Paul. All right. And what it's going to do is it's going to do two things to people. It's going to inspire them or it's going to annoy them. I promise you right off the bat. Don't be surprised if you start acting with excellence if people get ticked off. Because you are now a reminder of how mediocre they are. I kid you not. It will inspire some. It will annoy others. Do not let it stop you or intimidate you from being who God called you to be. Number five, excellence is noticeable. It's something I can see. Daniel chapter 6 verse 3 says it like this. That then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps. It set him above because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. I want you to notice that the word over and above are both used in the same scripture that is zeroing in on the spirit of excellence that promoted and distinguished this man above and over everyone else. This is what the spirit of excellence will do for you if you begin practicing this immediately. It is an identifier that elevates you, and it makes you the clear choice. Y'all have heard the saying, head and shoulders above the crowd, right? This is what that's talking about. If you're a big gooner and you're tall and you stand over the top of the crowd, boy, they can find you. Lou, guys like us, I'm not calling you a big gooner, but I am. And, you know, we're not used to looking at people's backs, are we? We can see over the top of the crowd. That's a pretty nice thing. People can find this pretty quick. But this is what he's talking about. This elevates you. You want to put some platform shoes on at work? Then you start being an excellent person. It will elevate you and make you noticeable. Number six, excellence is promotable. It is promotable. And I want to use this scripture to back that up. It's Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29. And it says, do you see a man who, what? Excels in his work. Watch what happens next. He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. It promotes you. It makes you stand out. It marks you for elevation and for promotion. The seventh and final one tonight is very simply this. That excellence is eternal. Excellence is eternal. And this is my favorite one. Because most of the time, if we're just being really honest, we get so short-sighted, don't we? We forget that we were created for eternity. Let's be honest. When was the last time, for most of us, the thought crossed your mind that I'm going to stand before the Lord and give an account for the way I live my life? Amen. Wonderful. Or did we wake up thinking, could today be the day Jesus parts the eastern sky and returns? It's something that has to become a part of our thought process so that we play the long game. Because what happens is, and I talked to you about vision on Sunday, we can't forget the big picture when we're doing little things. We can't forget the big picture when we're doing little things. We can't forget the big picture when we're doing little things. When you're serving in ministry here, you can't forget the big picture. That there were 10 people born again on Sunday alone as a result of people serving in the services. Let me back up. Miss Linda, how many people were born again in the prison? Six. There were 16 people born again on Sunday because of people serving. Miss Linda preached her first message in there. Would y'all give her a hand today? Excellence is eternal. So many of you are in ministry here at the church. Let me just say, if you're in ministry here, you are mission critical. We cannot win without you. I can't do what I do if you don't do what you do. Whatever ministry you're a part of, and even if you're not a part of the ministry and you're a part of this church, you're critical. You're essential. When you're not here, something's missing. But we've got to keep the big picture in mind when we're doing little things. When you don't want to get up on a Sunday morning, when you don't want to come to church after a long day on a Wednesday night or whatever it might be, you got to keep the big picture in mind that there are other people counting on you. There are other people who need to know you. There are other people who need to connect with you. There are other people who need what you have to offer. See, grace comes through people. I need a whole night for that one. God's grace comes through people. He has put a grace on you to share with other people. That's why if you're not in your place, you can't share your grace. Amen? And that happens through serving. We've hit that a little bit. But excellence is eternal. I love Ephesians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. Let's read this. It says, work with enthusiasm. Work with enthusiasm. Somebody say enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is the word entheos, and it means God within. It literally means to be possessed by God. We think of possession in a bad way, but this is possession in a good way. How many of you know we were bought with a price? And it was the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I am the possession of God. I belong to Him. I am God's property. And I have no problem with saying that the Holy Spirit is dwelling in me and He has full control over my life. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Amen? And so I'm possessed by Christ. I am possessed by the Holy Spirit. I like that. As a matter of fact, some of the ways I pray some days is, Holy Spirit, put on a Josh suit today. Just let me be a puppet. You be the hand. Right? Get up in everything going on in my life and show up. And so the word enthusiasm means to be possessed by God. So work as if you are possessed by God. It means to work with intense emotion. It means to work with an emotion that compels you towards action. It means to work with excitement. It means to work inspired to go after greater things. I love that. Work with enthusiasm as though you are working for the Lord rather than for people. Verse 8, here's where it gets eternal. Remember that the Lord will reward each one of us. Come on, look at your neighbor and tell him he's talking to you. He's talking to you. He's talking to you. He's talking to you. The Lord will reward. Who's going to reward us? The Lord will reward each one of us for the good we do, whether we are slaves or free. That means whether man sees it or not, doesn't matter. Whether you get credit or not, doesn't matter. Whether you get the raise or not, doesn't matter. Whether you get the promotion or not, it doesn't matter. It doesn't affect the way I do my job. I don't get my nose bent. I don't get upset. And I don't say I'm giving them less than my best because they didn't give me what belonged to me. I say my Father in heaven sees everything I do. There's nothing He missed. And it's recorded in His book in heaven. And we're playing for keeps in this thing, and this isn't the end. I'm headed for eternity in heaven with my Lord, and He will set it straight, and I'd rather have His reward than theirs anyways. I could care less about the 42-cent raise. I'd rather have the blessing of God on my life. Completely changes us and eliminates that victim mentality. But nothing changes until we grasp the magnitude of what it means to have breath in your lungs. Everybody just take a deep breath. Feels good, doesn't it? What does that mean to have breath in our lungs? What does it mean? It's more than a privilege. It certainly is a privilege. But it's a responsibility. I bear the responsibility to become everything my Father created me to be. That is the great adventure we call Christianity. It's already done, and it's already mine, and it's already there like we talked about Sunday. And now it is a life of acknowledging what's already there and already been done and already on the inside of you. That in Christ, you are already complete. You already have everything you need to succeed. And day by day, you begin to see it. And all of a sudden, you get excited about life because you're not looking for it to show up. You're not going and begging somebody else. God reveals it to you. And you know where you're going to find it? It's already on the inside of you because that's where Jesus is living. Amen? Could you give God praise that He's that amazing? Here's the deal. My best today can get even better tomorrow. That's called growth. And we must continue to process the process of pushing ourselves outside our comfort zone to be better than we were yesterday. And what happens is when I give my best, there's something amazing that begins to take place. I discover new abilities that I never knew I had. I begin to do things that I never thought possible. God takes me places I never dreamed I'd be. And I increase my capacity to be all my Father created me to be. One last scripture as you're standing to your feet. Let me share this with you. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. He says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be firm, steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord." Always excelling, always outstanding, always growing, always above and beyond, always more than what is required in the work of the Lord, being continually aware that your labor, even to the point of exhaustion in the Lord, is not futile nor wasted. It is never without purpose. Father, from the bottom of our hearts, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you, God, that we're not only challenged and we're stirred, but God, I thank you that tonight you have changed us. God, I thank you for transformation, which is more than just a momentary change. This is irreversible stuff tonight. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would seal it in us. I pray that every day that you would prick our heart and remind us, God, convict and convince us that we can be our best because that's what you've deposited in us. We thank you, Lord, that we can live great lives because the greater one is in us. We thank you, Lord, for enlarging our capacity tonight. And I pray for that person that is discouraged and defeated, that is wrestling with darkness and not seeing purpose. Their vision has grown dim and their hope has disappeared. Tonight, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over that attack against them and that mountain sitting on them. And we cast it away in the name of Jesus. And we command the burden to be lifted and the light to come back into their eyes and hope to be restored on the horizon of their hearts, for vision to explode upon the canvas of their hearts tonight. God, give them a picture of the life that you want them to live. You bought for them to live. You created them to live. And you promised that they could have. We thank you, Jesus, that you came that we could have life and have it more abundantly. Satan, we bind you and rebuke you. We renounce you in the name of Jesus. We cast down every principality and power and weapon and strategy and trick and scheme. We cancel every attack of the enemy and every assignment against us. And we declare that victory is ours in the name of Jesus Christ. We are washed in the blood of God. We are fire baptized tonight. I thank you, Father, that we're too hot for the devil to handle. And Father, in the name of Jesus, let us go out of here and burn brighter than ever before as we show our world your love and your life and your light, not in some way that's just talk, but God, show us how we can go love struck somebody before Sunday and make a difference in their life in a tangible way, that we can sit down and have a conversation, that we can be a blessing, that we can do something to bless somebody else. We declare tonight we are blessed because of Jesus Christ, and we give you all the thanks. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on, one more time. Let's give him the ovation of the night. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I love you. God bless you. I can't wait to see you Sunday. Please bring a Bible and a friend with you.